Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening. Good morning. One more time for those of you just waking up. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Jerry.
Good morning, Jerry.
Hi, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy. Last week we talked about the witness statement of Mary. And what we're doing, we're unlocking the Xmas files. The whole idea that Christmas is kind of a mystery to us, and it really is. And sometimes even the correct way to celebrate it, the correct way to commemorate it. So we're going to talk about the Xmas Files. There it is. Today, case 122501. I felt like, and again, I'll tell you that it said, like I said last week, I thought I was really cute with the date thing, but it's just kind of feeble. Anyway. Today we're going to talk about the witness statement. Can we just, for the rest of today, assume that the word witness is pronounced witness? That way if I say it wrong again, I don't have to feel like a moron. I want you to understand where I'm coming from on this. I love the words of the Bible. I love the fact that the Bible tells us these great things, unearths these great truths to us. However, if you don't apply them to your life, I think we're missing out on a great thing. And that includes the story of Jonah and the whale, or how Jesus came to be born. All of these things. That was then. How do we apply it now? What does that mean to us? What do we do to get from there to here? Am I right? Okay. So let's open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to see what the angels had to say. God bless us today. We ask that you'll open our hearts to you, Father. God, let us hear what you have to say. Father, I believe that this morning's message is possibly a catalyst for what you're going to do in this church in the future. So God, open our hearts to hear from you. We ask it in your name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" We live in a society that lives on messaging. We text message each other now. I just had two text messages I was looking at this morning from Esley and Paulina wishing me happy Thanksgiving. Because evidently I forget to clean out the text message thing I get. Okay? I get emails on my phone. I get messages on my phone. I get all kinds of stuff on my phone. I can surf the internet on my phone. I don't know why I need to surf the internet on my phone, but I can do it and it's cool and I like it. I get emails. We get all of these things that are going on. When I was a kid growing up, our messaging was little tiny notes that we passed during school and hoped the teacher wouldn't find. And invariably they would, and then the teacher would read them, "Meet me by the drinking fountain." Or, "Do you like me? Check yes or no." Right? Come on, you know. Now they're text messaging each other, and they're spelling things weird. You know, God forbid you should actually spell out words. Evidently the number 4 now is a word. I wasn't aware of that, but evidently it is. And the letter S has been replaced by a Z. Kids. Well, I don't know why, I just know it's bothering to us old people who learned to read one way, and now we have to learn this whole new language. It really is. It's like cross-cultural communication. It might as well be, you know, Swahili to me. I look at some of this like, is this English? Did somebody write this in English? I listen to some of the songs that they call them songs, but I remember when you used to have musical talent to make money in the music industry. Now, evidently, you just need to be able to rhyme and use four-letter words, but that's another matter. And I listened to this one song, and this guy talked for 5 minutes. I think I understood the word "the" a couple of times. And I'm not sure he used it correctly. I think he was making up his own reason to use it. We live in a society that's communication-oriented, though. I mean, again, my old day, we had the tin can thing with a string between it? It doesn't work. You think it does, but really you're just shouting in the can and hoping the echo reaches the other person. Now they got all this newfangled stuff. Ah, you young kids, you. I'm right in the middle of it. I like it, too. I got all this stuff. My sergeant told me the other day, you got more electronic doodads and gizmos than anybody ever thought of. And he's right. But I like it. Well, today we're going to talk about the old school way of communication. This is the way God chose to communicate with people. So I want you to picture get this in your mind. There's a bunch of shepherds sitting around with sheep. Sheep stink, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know that. Consequently, shepherds who hang out with sheep, what do? They stink too. They're sitting around, they're sipping a latte from Starbucks. Because that's what shepherds do, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's a mocha frappuccino or something. I don't know. But they're sitting around. And they're talking. And all of a sudden, a bright light shines all around them. And an angel looks down at them. And these guys all say the same thing. You ready? Ah! That's what they said. They all said the same thing, right? Ah, we're going to die. Because that's what you say when this big, huge angel lights all these shining light around you. You just kind of freak out. I'm not sure what the Greek word for it is, but I'm sure it's something along the line of to freak out and wet your pants. I think that's kind of what happens there. They're terrified. And the first thing the angel says, don't be afraid. I mean, we talked about it last week. If angels are like we make them these little fat little naked babies with wings and little halos, you know. Nobody's afraid of those. Nobody's afraid of those little naked babies. They're just not. Because you could, you know, take your finger and flick one and send him running. It's not a big deal. But the Bible describes these as warriors, angels as warriors. And one of them pulls out the big sword with a shining light and the flames and stuff. That's going to freak you out. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, have you ever watched the show The X-Files? It's pretty weird. In fact, I don't like it because it's scary. I'm not a big scary movie guy because I get bad dreams, really bad. And my wife said there's something wrong with me because in my job, I look at dead people and things. That never bothers me. That's like, oh, well, okay. But to watch on TV something scary just freaks me out. And I have bad dreams and I wake up in the middle of the night with, you know, imaginary bugs crawling on me and stuff. I don't like that. The X-Files is that. I don't remember what it was, but it was a guy and his face was melting off. I don't need to watch that. But the X-Files was all about supernatural. That's what the X-Files were. They were all about supernatural things that nobody understood, and it was paranormal, and it was kind of, that's the noise you make when it's weird stuff. That's kind of the way we think of Christmas. Christmas, if you think about the story of Christmas, it's kind of like, you got a girl who's all by herself. She gets pregnant. All by herself. I'm going to stress that all by herself thing because that's not the way it normally happens. I don't know if you're aware of that. By the way, I went to see my mom in the hospital this week and they had her in the maternity ward. That was frightening because she said once a few years ago that she thought she was pregnant. I said, well, if that's the case, you better get ready for visitors. Because the last time something like this happened, three wise men showed up and a bunch of shepherds. So she didn't think I was funny either. It it's just kind of weird when you think about it. Angels showing up and a king wiping out a bunch of babies and shepherds running around telling everybody all the weird stuff they saw on the hillside. I mean, we kind of put Christmas in this X-Files, this kind of weird kind of thing. And yeah, we buy the story, but we're not sure. See, the Bible tells us that Christianity is a supernatural faith. If you try to reason Christianity with your mind, you're going to drive yourself crazy. Because it doesn't make sense. Why God would send His only Son to die for us doesn't make sense. Until you know that God loves us that much. I can't understand that love. Because you know what? I love you guys, but I wouldn't sacrifice either one of my kids for you. And there are days I don't even really like my kids. And even on those days, I wouldn't sacrifice them for you. Well, maybe a little bit. No. You know what I'm saying? It's hard for us to think of that kind of love. It's kind of hard for us to put ourselves in that kind of position. It's a supernatural faith. Think about what happens inside of you when you become a Christian. When you become a Christian, Arthur Wallace said in his book, The Radical Christian, that when you become a Christian, God lays an axe to the root of your life. And you're totally turned upside down. The things that used to be important to you don't matter anymore. And the things that you never thought were important are suddenly vital. Because that's what Christianity does. It changes our priorities. It changes our values. It changes our inner core. It's supernatural. You can't explain it. My grandpa asked me one time, tell me how a brown cow eats green grass and makes white milk. Don't know. Just know what happens. How does God take a person who is a sinner and whose life is totally away from Him and turn him into somebody ready to go to heaven? I don't know. I just know it works. You've got to accept the supernatural. You've got to believe that there are things around you that you can't see. And so the supernatural part of Christmas is kind of hard for us to grasp because we get caught up in the day-to-day. Christmas shopping. I did almost all of my Christmas shopping online because I don't have to mess with other people at that point. Shoving me and hitting me with elbows and saying bad words to me and parking, and I don't like it. So it's easier for me just to do it online, and then it gets in the house and all I have to do is hide stuff and then do like a really lousy wrapping job come Christmas because I really am lousy at wrapping. I mean, 3-year-olds have wrapped gifts and done better. I've had 3-year-olds look at my gifts and say, dude, you got to try better. We get caught up in putting, you know, Christmas cards and who's going to get this. And let's, you know, I'm going to get this guy. Well, last year, I got him something special. And he got me socks. So this year, I'm getting him socks. Yeah, you know, and we live our lives by this stuff. We major in minors because at the Christmas time, we get so caught up in the mundane, in the natural, we forget about the supernatural. Hey guys, don't get twisted on this. We tell you what Christmas is. Now, all the gifts and all that stuff, it's great. Enjoy your time with your family. Do all of that. That's not what Christmas is. What Christmas is a little baby leaving the splendor of the Son of God, leaving the splendor of heaven and becoming a little baby so that He could die for your sins. That's what Christmas is. There's a real supernatural world out there. It's full of angels. And we're going to talk about the angels this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. We are born to be supernatural beings. We're born to have to deal with the supernatural side. All we have to do is open our heart to what God has to say. So, let's talk about the angels. First thing you need to know about angels. I want to talk to you about angels because there's some real misconceptions. First thing you need to know about angels, angels watch us. They observe us. To us, to angels, we're like an ant colony. You ever have an ant colony when you're a kid? And you just like watch it? And they're like digging little holes and you're watching them. And it was really cool. You're like, wow. Why are they doing that? I don't know. It's cool. Okay, maybe you never had an ant colony as a kid. I did. Till my brothers, you know, broke it. One who shall remain nameless, who sits here today in the back of the room. Actually, the best thing I had, though, I had polywogs. My dad told me the polywogs turn into babies. Because my dad's sick that way. And so I had a jar full of polywogs. You know what a polywog is, right? Little black thing with a tail on it. And it kind of swims around. Well, it turns into a frog. Well, my polywog started sprouting legs. I was going to be a dad. I was excited. I had babies coming. I was going to be a daddy. And then my brother Greg, who to this day denies it, but he doesn't know anything because he wasn't very smart then. He's not very smart now. And I said that because he listens to these. He broke my babies. And he knocked the jar of polywogs off. And so here's all my little babies because they with their little legs, you know, laying on the ground and flopping around like that. And I ran through the house screaming, Greg, kill my babies. Greg, kill my babies. I watch them swim around. To me, I think that's what the angels look at us. The angels look at us and they're so amazed. The Bible says they observe us. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. You ever wonder where we get the idea that there's a guardian angel? That's it. Matthew 18, 10. Where it says that we have an angel, that our angels are there. We have angels. When I was a kid, we were coming home from church, and our car had a flat a block and a half from the house. I was so upset, because I had to get out and change it. My mom wasn't going to change the tire, and neither was Tim or Greg. I'm so upset. Honest goodness, no sooner did we stop the car than this car just came hauling through the intersection we would have been in. I honestly, firmly believe, my mom just turned white as a ghost. And she said, we would have been in that intersection. We hadn't had to stop for this flat. I think we get to heaven, we're going to see time after time after time after time after time where our angels stopped us. Where our angels stuck their hand out and said, stop for a second, will you? Because this is going to get really ugly if you don't. I think we're going to sit back and we're going to watch like a videotape and we're going to go, man, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. We need to know. When we read a great story, go to 2 Kings chapter 6 and read the story of Elijah. Elijah is in a house and he's surrounded by armies. And he's not upset. He's literally surrounded by armies who want to kill him. He's not upset. He's sitting there drinking a lemonade or Dr. Pepper. He's eating Doritos. Not a big deal. You know, watching a little college football on the tube. And his assistant is freaking out. Elijah, did you take a look out the window? Elijah, you know, put the window. Oh, yeah, hey, there's some armies out there. Wow, that's cool. No, Elijah, it's not cool. They're going to kill you. Don't you understand? We're in danger. And he's all freaking out. There's that noise again. It happens a lot in the Bible. And Elijah prays a simple prayer. He says, Lord, open the eyes of my servant so he can see as you see. And all of a sudden, the servant's eyes are opened and he sees angels surrounding the armies. And you know what? He started drinking Dr. Pepper and eating the Doritos. We need to see the supernatural around us. We need to start looking for what God wants us to see. That's part of the angels. Second thing you need to know about angels is they were created by God. Angels were created by God. I'm going to say that again. Angels are created by God. Over 300 times in the Bible, over 23 times just in the Gospel of Luke, it says that angels did this or carried out that. We do not become angels when we die. I'll say it for you again. We do not become angels waiting, you know, when we die. They're created beings. God made them. That's it. We are higher than the angels, the Bible says. Why do you want to be an angel? The Bible says we're created higher than the angels. Let me tell you something. Remember I said the angels watch you? You know there's one song the angels can't sing? The angels can't sing the song of the redeemed. The angels can't sing, thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. They can't sing that. We're higher than the angels. Angels are created by God. There's that old Michael W. Smith. You're an angel waiting for wings. No, you're not. Good song. Bad theology. Okay? You're not going to be an angel. There's our little angel. No, he's not. Trust me, I've watched your kid. No, he's not. And he's not going to be when he dies either. In fact, no, I won't go there. Okay. Next thing you need to know about angels, they execute God's will. Again, angels did this, angels did that. Angels have executed God's purposes throughout history. They do it today. In the book of Genesis, the angels guarded the Garden of Eden with flaming swords. They kicked Adam and Eve out of the pool. And then two angels with flaming swords kept them from going back in. Now, if you think the little tiny little chubby little babies with the wings would keep them out, no. Flaming sword, come on. But when one of these big, you know, bad guys with a sword says, hey, you're not going in, well, okay, I'll go over here. It's like the horror movies, you know, where you know the voice in the wall says, get out. Okay, I'm leaving. No reason to stay. In Ezekiel, the angels overwhelmed the prophet with mind-blowing visions. In the book of Revelation, they worship Jesus at the throne. They're already involved in what's a victorious war against the enemy. Angels do great things. They serve God. But only in America, like Don King said, only in America can we take these great supernatural God-created warriors and turn them into chubby babies with wings. Only in America. Next thing you need to know about angels, angels are not to be worshipped. You don't pray to your angel. You know why? Because you never worship the creature, only the creator. You don't worship the creation, only the creator. And some of these, you know, some of these self-help books talk about praying to your inner angel and stuff. I don't know where that comes from. And again, nice, warm and fuzzy thought, not good theology though. Not good theology. Angels minister to us, but the Holy Spirit ministers within us. Angels can't convict us of sin. Only the Spirit of God does that. Angels showed up when Jesus was born. All of humanity was holding its breath because they heard the Son of God was coming down. The angels had the privilege of announcing His birth. They didn't print it on nice little cards. God announces the birth of His Son, Jesus. If you did that for your kids, that's cool. We never did. We didn't think anybody cared that our kids were here, so it didn't really matter. It was like, oh, hey, the Godsies had a child. So? You know, so... They didn't call CNN to let them know something was going to happen. They didn't announce it to all the dignitaries. In fact, they gave it to a group of guys who were sitting around drinking coffee waiting for the sun to come up. In fact, they gave it to a group of guys who weren't allowed to go into the temple. Shepherds weren't allowed in the temple because they were considered unclean. They hung out with sheep. You know why I think the announcement was made to the shepherds? To show us what it says in verse 10, the angel said to them, don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. See, I'm one of the all the people. I'm never going to be royalty. I'm never going to be one of the most important people in the world. I'm never going to be one of the most important people in Imperial. Which, you know, it's really not that big a deal anyway. So when Jesus came to all the people, He came to me. He came to you. And that's important for us because we kind of get lost in this, Jesus came for all the world. Yeah, He did. He also came for you individually. He came for all of us. Verse 13 says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, angels created God when he created the world. They praised God, the birth of His Son. They praised God in heaven continuously. And the shepherds got a chance to watch this, to hear this. These people who couldn't even go into church because they didn't have the right clothes. They were looked down on by the fancy church people. You know what? With God's help and grace, nobody will ever say that about our church. Oh, I can't go there. I don't dress well enough. Jeremiah and I wear shirts when it's warm. How fancy are we? You know why? Because that doesn't matter. I don't care what you wear. I just want you to be here. I do want you to wear something. Just, you know. Then verse 15 says, when the angels had left, they left them. They came to the shepherds and said, hey, check it out. All this cool stuff's going on. See ya. And they're gone. So now what do the shepherds do? I mean, they just got this earth-shaking news. Hey, by the way, the Son of God is being born. And now they're like, that's cool. What do we do? He left them. Everyday, ordinary people. So what'd they do? Verse 16 says, they hurried off and found Mary. They searched for her. They tried to find her. They tracked her down. Verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word. I like this. Today, it would be, when they had seen him, they checked into a college and decided they had to be theologians. Or they went to a denomination and tried to get credentials. Because, yea, verily, they had to have something important to show that they... No, they just spread the word. Let me tell you something. You can spread the word. You don't have to go to college. I'm not knocking college. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have credentials. You just have to spread the word. You know what word you spread? And every one of you can do this right now. What has Jesus done for you? What has He done for you? That's all you need to know. Because that's what somebody wants to hear. They don't want to hear a preaching of a message. They don't want to hear some theological discourse by some preacher who came in with a briefcase. They want to hear how God touched your life, because that's what makes sense to them. You know your story. All you have to do is share it. What do the shepherds know? They know how to watch sheep. That's not what they told everybody. They told everybody what they had seen, what they had heard, and what was told to them. Just share God. It's all you got to do. Verse 20, then the shepherds went back again to their fields and flocks, praising God for the visit of the angels, because they had seen the child just as the angels had told them. I said that Christmas is a time when the supernatural and the natural world collide. And these guys weren't living in heaven. They were living in the real world. And let me tell you something. There's something very special about being here, because when we get to heaven, stuff's going to quit happening. There are two things you can't do in heaven. Number one, you can't sin. Personally, I'm looking forward to that part, because I can get in plenty of trouble on my own. But you know the other thing you can't do in heaven is you can't spread the word of God. See, once you're in heaven, you can't reach out to your loved ones, to your friends, to the people that need to know Christ. It's too late. We've got to do that now. We've got to share the love of Christ with the people around us now, today. Can't wait till tomorrow. I want to give you a Christmas challenge. And I get real kind of hyper about this stuff, because this is the heartbeat of my heart. So I'm going to give you a Christmas challenge. First thing I want you to do is make a target list. In fact, if you got your bulletin or something to write on, I want you to write down the names of three people that you need to reach for Christ. Now, I'm talking to Christians. And if you're here and you're seeking for God, hang on. Just because you can't really give everything that you don't have yet. So if you're here seeking for God, continue seeking for Him. You're going to find Him. He's here. He's here for us. In fact, you can find Him today. But if you know Christ as your Savior, make a list. Three people that you know that aren't Christians that you can reach for God. Now, here's what's interesting. I've got a list right here. I made four because I thought of another one after I got the three. And you can feel free to do more than three if you want. I guarantee you that my three or four names on here, most of you don't know them. They're people I work with. people I live around. I'll bet you don't know these people. And here's the cool thing. I probably don't know who's on your list either. See, because we run in different circles of people. Even husbands and wives. If my wife were to make a list of three, she would probably have three different people than I have because, I know she doesn't have my people on her list because she's met them, but she doesn't really know them. She works with people. She works around people. But here's the cool thing. There are about 50 people here today. Say 40 adults. If every one of us made a list of three people, that would be 120 people this week we would reach for Christ. 120 people. And then the next week, 60 of them come in. Now we've got 130 people here on a Sunday morning. Or 110 people on a Sunday morning. And those 110 people, they all make a list of three. And so on. And so it's like a Fabergé organic commercial. I told two friends, and they told two friends, and so on and so on. Do you think it doesn't work that way? Of course it does. Second thing you need to do, this is dangerous. This is not for the faint of heart. This is not for, wishy-washy, I don't really know if I want to do this. I mean, you're going to really do this. You're going to commit to praying. I want you to pray that God would give you words to touch those three people in your list. And it may be little slivers of things. It may be little tiny things at first. And then God opens up doors and you start just kind of taking that little wedge and hammering the wedge in and opening that gap higher, wider and wider and wider till you finally reach Him totally for Christ. Didn't say it was going to happen overnight. Could happen. Maybe not. But pray for those three people in us. God, specifically pray, God, let me touch these three people. Give me a glimpse of their lives. God, let me touch these three people. And you know what happens? God gives us those opportunities. For a long time in my Christian life, I didn't pray this prayer. I got to be honest with you. I was a Christian. I came to church. I thought everything was hunky-dory. And I just came to church and everything was fine. I was taken care of. I was going to heaven. Well, the rest of the world's going to hell, but yeah, I was okay. I found out there's a lot more needed than that. I've got to be about the Master's business. I've got to be doing what the angels did. I've got to do what the shepherds did. I've got to share what God did. And I'll be honest with you, the first time I tried to share my faith, I messed up. I tried to be Joe Theologian. Well, the Bible says, and I didn't remember what the Bible said. I've been around it all my life, but I didn't remember right then exactly what, and you know what? Just share. We did this thing in one of my churches called Evangelism Explosion, where you had to have this memorized thing. And if I give you this watch, this is really bad thing, and I hated it. I really did. And I was with one of the guys in the church, one of the guys asked him, "Well, what about?" And here's what the guy said: "Excuse me, ask all your questions at the end." You think we reached that guy for Christ? He wasn't listening to what God was doing in that guy's heart. He was listening to the spiel the guy had memorized. He might as well have been a telemarketer trying to sell soap. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you sharing what God did in your heart. Next thing you need to do is spread the word. Tell somebody. Tell anybody. Here's the promise I'll make you. And I'll make this promise for Jeremiah because I know his heart. You do your best to reach the people on your list. You do your best to get them here on a Sunday. And I guarantee you, I promise you, that me, Jeremiah, the worship team, all of us who are involved in the ministry aspect of this, I guarantee you we'll do our best. We will do what God wants us to do, and we will reach them for Christ. We will do our best to reach them for Christ. You get them here, we'll minister to them. Guarantee it. We'll do our best. Worship team, is that for me to speak for you? That's why we do what we do. That's why we come and we set up all of this stuff and we tear it all down and we haul it all over town and we do all this stuff. Why? Because we want to reach people for Christ. Spread the word. How many of you, and don't raise your hand, how many of you invited somebody to church with you this week? How many of you got busy this week and said, you know what? I need to invite that person to church. We've got to be doing the job. So, what's in it for you? Well, first of all, it strengthens your faith. I have a background in theology. I've taken theological courses. I attended Vanguard University and Southwestern Assembly of God University in Waxahachie, Texas. Criminal justice classes. I got more learning. I don't have any degrees, but I got a lot of learning. And you know where I've grown my faith the most? Every time I open my mouth and share what God did for me. That's how I grow my faith. I grow my faith when I kind of live on that ragged edge. There was a No Fear t-shirt a few years ago that I saw that I really liked. It said, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. You know the most spiritual a lot of us get is when we pray over our cornflakes in the morning? Dear Lord, omnipotent Father, yay that Thou would bless these cornflakes. Like we're afraid they're going to jump out of the bowl at us or something. Right? You know what? I'll give you honesty. I think most Christians, if God didn't show up one day, they wouldn't know the difference. Because their lives are on cruise control. You know what you're going to do tomorrow. Don't you? Got a pretty good idea. Wake up, get dressed, go to work. Work your 8 hours. Come home, watch television, go to sleep. Wake up the next day, start all over again. And if God didn't show up, you wouldn't know the difference. But when you're living on the edge, you're living on that ragged edge where you're really risking stuff for God, where you're afraid to talk to that person, but you know you have to, so you're doing it anyway, and you're saying, oh God, please help me because I don't want to look stupid here. And you're really pushing your spiritual life. Man, you know that God's there because you're relying on Him every day. Live on the edge. Let's live dangerously. Let's live dangerously. There's a great story where Jonathan and his armor bearer are standing around. They got one sword and they're surrounded by all these guys. And they keep poking their head up over the top of it. And the armor bearer says, Jonathan, put your head down because there's a lot of them and only one of us. And only one of us has a sword and I'm not the one. And Jonathan looks at him and says, hey, let's do something. Perhaps God will come around. Now, if you're the armor bearer and you don't have a sword, that perhaps thing, that's not good. Jonathan said, let's do something. Perhaps God will help us out. When's the last time in your life you said, perhaps God? I'm going to do something here, and you know, just maybe God's going to show up and help me out. That's faith. That's pushing. Let's do that. You're going to grow so much in your Christian life if you'll just wake up every morning and say, hey, perhaps God's going to do something awesome today. Perhaps God's going to use me to touch somebody who needs to be touched. Perhaps God. Second thing that's going to happen is that spreading the word will alter the eternity of others. Imagine that your words that God gives you are going to alter somebody's eternity. Your words have the ability, as God uses them, to change the fact that somebody's dying and going to hell and spending eternity in heaven. Man, if that doesn't excite you, you don't have a pulse. Let's be used by God. Last thing is, it'll build the church. In the NIV, in the New Testament, 110 times they talk about the church. 110 times. 95 of those times it talk about a specific local church. See, there's a reason why I'm the pastor of a church and not an evangelist. Because I don't think I could handle just going and speaking and then leaving. Because I want to be part of a local body. I want to help change the lives of people and see them grow and see them grow and spur them on and teach them and help them get stronger. And then they reach out and they touch other people and they go to the mission field and they become pastors and they do all these other things. I don't know how many guys now out of my youth groups and my place where I pastored are in the full-time ministry now. And how cool it is to think that somewhere this morning that one of my guys is probably ministering either in a Sunday school class or somewhere else, and every life they touch is a life that I touch because I put that in their heart. That's so cool. And the words that I spoke to one person changed the lives of another person that I'll never meet this side of heaven. When my niece said she was going to get married, I joked with her. I said, well, wait, I haven't had a chance to approve of this guy. She said, oh, you'll like him. After all, you mentored him. How did I mentor him? I never met him. Here's the story. When I was youth pastor in San Diego, I mentored a kid named Scott Stewart. Great kid. Went on to be in the ministry, was my youth pastor in Romoland, was my youth pastor in Gardena. Scott went on and became youth pastor at Val Vista in Hemet. In Hemet, at Val Vista Church, there's a young man named Stephen. Scott mentored Stephen. Guess who's married to my niece? Stephen. And here's this great opportunity for me to touch the life of a kid who eventually would marry one of my family members who I love dearly. And all that time I poured into Scott came back. All those hamburgers that I bought Scott, all those sodas, all those times where we sat and I threatened to kick his behind every now and then if he didn't get his act together, and places where we cried together and laughed together, all that time we spent, and I never had any idea that it would pay off to my own family. Welcome to God. See, we build the church. God does great things. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus said, I tell you, you're Peter. And it is on this rock that I'll build my church, and the forces of hell will not overpower it. Let me tell you something. There is nothing more important in the city of Imperial this morning than remnant. Understand this. There's nothing more important than the city of Imperial this morning than this church. Now, there are other churches, they're just as important. What I'm saying is, God looks at us. He planted this church. He brought us together for a purpose. So that we can do just what the shepherds did, just what the angels did. We can tell everybody about the birth of Jesus Christ and what it means to them. Got your list? Got three people? What are you going to do about it? Pray the dangerous prayer. Live the dangerous life. Let's live on the edge. Who knows? Perhaps God will do something for us. Father, I love you. And God, I thank you that you do not let us live these static, ordinary, run-of-the-mill lives, God. You challenge us to be greater than we ever thought we could be. God, you challenge us to lay it all on the line, God. Father, I pray that we will be what the angels were. God, that we will do what the angels did. We will do what the shepherds did. God, that we will just lay it all out for you, Father. And in doing that, God, we'll help you alter the eternity of others. Oh, God, touch us. Bless us, God. God, I don't want to just have church. I don't want to just be a place where we come and meet with our buddies. God, I got eternity to that. Right now, I've got to be reaching those who need to know you. Bless us, God. I pray that every person in this room will become a guided missile for you. As they go through life, God, as they go through this week, Father, that each one of them will just reach out and say, you know what, you're on my list and you don't know it, but you're toast. God, help us to touch them for you. Father, I pray for those in this room who are still seeking. God, that you will send people to them. That, Father, this morning, maybe they've heard enough. This morning, they're ready to say, you know what, God, I want my eternity changed. I accept you as my Savior. If that's you this morning, just say it right now. God, I accept you as my Savior. I want to be different. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but God, I'm willing to have you touch me. God, do great things. Touch us, move in us. We ask it now in your name, Father. And everybody say it. Amen. I'm challenging you this week. Challenging you. I'm daring you. be something special for God this week. Amen? Let's stand.